spacious skies for amber.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio. Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us on the line Mr. William Murkison, and we're going to be talking about his book, There's More to Life Than Politics. And Mr. Murkison is a writer. He's written for the Dallas Morning News for many years. He's had his articles printed in Human Life Review and National Review and Wall Street Journal and The American Spectator and Human Events. And this is his analysis of politics. It's more or less a philosophy of how he looks at the world today. Mr. Murkison, thank you so much for being with us.
Yes, thank you. My pleasure.
And, of course, the book is published by Spence Publishers, one of my favorite publishers. They put out some very, very unusual books, and we always enjoy their authors. Now, your basic theme is that politics is something that you, although you've written about it for many years, you really do not think that we should really be so involved. You don't think politics is going to really change much of anything. Is that your basic theme?
Well, it's a matter of the expectations that we bring to politics. Of course, we have to have politics. We've always had politics. We will always have politics. But there's a question of the expectations that people vest in the idea that if we elect the right people to office, if they pass the right laws, most of the time it won't happen, that everything will be absolutely all right. When the parts of our lives that politics touches are relatively small, and the effects of politics are frequently as dangerous and malicious as they are salutary and beneficial.
But of course, if we look at countries that go into totalitarian regimes, that does really impact on people's lives. And do you see us moving away from individual freedom towards a government that regulates us from the cradle to the grave?
That is, of course, the argument that we have been engaged in for the past 50 or 60 years. And the whole argument against the Roosevelt administration in the 1930s and early 1940s was that it was moving us toward a centralized government that was going to trifle with our liberties. I find this is, quite frankly, is one of the reasons that I have so little patience with political solutions, because the same arguments that people were having 65 years ago, they're still having today. We haven't gotten past them. Yeah, I think there's a real danger that if we rely ultimately on governmental solutions to all of our problems, witness the Medicare debate going forth in Congress right now, that all will be well, because it won't be necessarily. Certain things will be alleviated, but the degree of government control that goes with government help and the level of taxation that finances that government help, these are things that undermine liberty, and we ought to be very, very careful and very, very cautious about them.
All right, fine. Well, we're talking with Mr. William Murkison, and his basic theme, you know, is that politics is not going to solve us. We've been doing the same things for 60 years. It seems, though, that at every step, whether the Republicans or Democrats are in power, why freedom is constantly being lost, the government gets ever bigger and bigger and bigger. Well, can you see a point where this whole thing is going to collapse?
Oh, it's hard to say. I think we thought 20 years ago, 23 years ago, we were about at that stage with
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just
all
a
right.
moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Murchison, and he is a writer. He's written for many years for the Dallas Morning News. He has also written for Human Life International, National Review, The Wall Street Journal, The American Spectator, Policy Review. A book is a series of the essays he's written, but his basic underlying theme is we can get so involved in politics that we sort of lose track of what's really going on in the world, that life goes on irrespective of politics. Would that be a fairly fair statement?
Yes, that certainly would. We're obsessed with the idea of politicians solving all of our problems, and politics can make a difference. Politicians can make a difference, but the difference is very seldom as major as we anticipate that it will be. The same old arguments go on from generation to generation. I think maybe the underlying theme is that we've got to solve our problems at home. We've got to solve our problems on our knees, as it were. And to the extent that problems are even soluble in this fallen world, and we have we've got to put not our trust in princes, as the psalmist so notably says. That's the best piece of political advice I have ever heard. Oh, put not your trust in princes or in any child of man, for there is no help in them.
Now, what you're suggesting, then, is that we're really involved in a spiritual battle, although we're trying to play it out on a political battlefield?
Well, I take the religious view of life, which is an unfashionable thing to take in the 21st century.
You won't get any argument from myself or any of my listeners, I don't think.
I understand that, which is one reason it's such a joy to be with you. But it's nice to be able to say things and to be understood.
You can go right ahead and say what you think. don't worry, because...
My idea is that human nature being bent, being warped, being fallen, is not capable of the ultimate solutions that human beings seem to imagine they are capable of imposing on the society. And I think that our challenge is to turn over as much of our concern and our obsession with destiny as we possibly can to the author of our being, as he has been called, our God, and to realize that while we propose, he will dispose, that all things will work out in the end very much as he wills that they will work out, despite our life endeavors.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Mr. William Murchison, and we're talking about his book, There's More to Life Than Politics, and he's been talking about the fact that he thinks maybe we'll solve more problems on our knees than we will being involved actively in politics. And would that be a fairly good summary of what you're
saying? More problems to be solved on our knees than in the ballot box.
All right, fine.
At the ballot box.
Well, then, of course, you talk about the things that are going on in our country today, and the botched up Social Security system. The idea of Social Security was a wonderful utopian view. The government is going to help people who grow older. And back in 1936, you didn't even have to pay anything into the system. You got it automatically. You got a nice check every month, and there were half a dozen people, six or eight people, working for every person who was retired, so it wasn't too much of a burden on anybody. But then as time has gone by, why, there have been fewer and fewer people working for everybody retired, and as we look into the future, pretty soon there's only going to be maybe two people working for every person who's retired, and the Social Security system and the Medicare system is going to go bankrupt. So what's the solution to that if it's not a political solution?
Well, it's political in that it requires certain legislation to be passed, but it's social and cultural in that it requires us to raise our eyes, to raise our glance, our gaze above the spectacle of politicians solving our destiny for us. The indicated solution to the Social Security problem is, in policy terms, the creation of tax-free accounts that Americans use to save for their own retirement. This is a proposal that's come again and again and again and again before Congress, and it has yet to find purchase on the on the ears and in the hearts of congressmen. But nevertheless, what this involves is individuals making individual choices about what's best for them. I resent Social Security, and have always resented it as many years as I've worked, because the judgment, the government presumes to make the judgment for me, in my place, as to what I need. What we need is a kind of a cultural recovery of our sense of individual responsibility that points us in a different direction than the direction of government dependence, which is the direction that we have been pointed in since 1936.
But, of course, as long as people will go ahead and provide something for nothing, it's only human nature to want to take it. How many people say, I'm not going to take Social Security based upon a matter of principle? Or how many people even can say, I don't want your Medicare, and they can't say it because they've designed it so you can't get a private health insurance if you're over 65 years of age? So they've created a problem for which there's no solution, because Medicare's going bankrupt, and now they're going to come in with this crazy idea of providing drugs for everybody. We're so concerned about the people, and there's no money to do this. We're simply do it with borrowed money. They say it's only going to cost $40 billion in 10 years, and yet it's probably going to cost $300 or $400 billion in 10 years. And not only that, it's just a matter of time before government's going to start rationing what medicines you can get, and that's really rather frightening. Because
they'll have to, and you know the reason they'll have to, because people will utilize any service that they believe to be free or almost free, which is the general perception of Medicare and government health care. People believe that, well, they're paying for it with their taxes, aren't they? And the part that we're not paying for ourselves, some rich man is paying for. So let's take all we can get. Let's utilize all we can get. Well, that naturally drives prices up. What, the government doesn't understand human nature. It doesn't understand the way human beings are. It makes these assumptions about rational behavior on the part of human beings. What it doesn't understand is that rational behavior on the part of human beings consists in taking what you can get in economic terms and leaving someone else to figure out how it's supposed to be paid for.
But aren't these entitlements? At one time that was charity, but now we're told it's no longer, not even welfare. These are the entitlements. It's what we're entitled to as citizens of the United States.
Oh, yes, that's the story. That's the theory. We seem to have made the good life a kind of entitlement to be provided by the federal government. And, of course, the definitions of the good life change perpetually. It used to be just that a certain level of retirement support, as in Social Security, then Medicare became involved. And now we have to have prescription drugs. Very, very soon, we have to acknowledge that in fact we're not capable of looking after ourselves. That we have invited the government into our houses and told the government to take over and do for us what it wants to do. Do for us, in fact, what our representatives think is going to get them the most votes and excite the most gratitude on the part of the voters. So it's a game that will go on and on, because power is intimately involved in it. The calculation that by offering so-and-so that I, the member of Congress, will get such and such a return.
Well, you know, the thing that really is so disturbing to me is that traditionally, and I admit that this is perception perhaps more than reality, but traditionally the Republicans have been against big government and socialized medicine. The Democrats have been in favor of it. But today the Republicans are pushing for the free drugs just as much as the Democrats are. Doesn't seem that anybody's standing up and saying, where's the money going to come from? We're already talking about over $500 billion deficit for next year, and that doesn't even take into account this Medicare boondoggle.
Yeah, $400 billion over the next 10 years, if we're lucky. If we're lucky. And we very seldom are lucky in terms of the expectations that we attach to these federal programs. We always lowball it. because it sounds better when we lowball it.
And you would think that eventually the people would realize that the government is always underestimated, and the government is moving towards bankruptcy. We're talking now, as I said, next year, if we count the money they're going to steal from Social Security, probably closer to $750 billion. Isn't this eventually going to result in the bankruptcy of our government, and we'll end up like the people are in Argentina, where the people are impoverished?
Oh, I don't think we'll go bankrupt because we have the power to tax. The government has the power to exact as much money as it wants to exact from the population. The problem will be that is the government, if the government undertakes to drive up the level of taxation in order to pay off this fancy national debt, then what we'll get is less work, less investment, less effort, less initiative on the part of the taxpayers. And it will be counterproductive. We'll have. I don't expect economic collapse. I think that's probably a fantasy. But we could have very hard times from the government simply trying to pay for all these fancy promises that it's made to us.
But it's only human nature to try to avoid taxes. I was looking at those great big beautiful mansions they have down along the Mississippi River, and there are no closets in any of them. And these were built 150 years ago, yes, because if you had a closet, they taxed the number of rooms in a closet, but it's considered
a
room.
And, right, I know what you're talking about.
And of course, all the staircases are built outside, because if there's an inside staircase, they charge additional. So people will always avoid taxes or figure some way not to pay them when they become confiscatory.
They will. And there used to be a window tax, too, in colonial America. and so people eliminated the number of windows or made them smaller. So you're quite right. There's no question about that. People will look for any way to avoid taxes. Look at smuggling. Look at the black market. These are evidences of the lengths that people will go to avoid excessive government interference with the choices that they have chosen, that they have made for themselves in economic terms.
But isn't the only way to keep the government out of our lives is to be involved in the political process? Or you're basically suggesting that, you know, it's all right to be involved, but just don't be too involved.
Don't have otherworldly expectations about what's going to happen. And I think this argues for small and limited government. The larger your expectations for what the government can do, for the problems the government can solve, the larger your conception of government is, and the more government you want, and the higher taxes you usually get to pay for that level of government. However, the idea of limitations, of limited expectations, is what I argue for. If you have limited expectations regarding what government can do, then you don't want fancy new programs. You don't want enormous new tax loads to pay for these programs. What you want is a moderate balance in the services that the government provides, and in terms likewise of the ability of the taxpayers to pay for those services.
Well, I certainly agree. In fact, as a classic libertarian, coming from a Christian point of view, because I believe there has to be a moral foundation, but I want just as little government as is compatible with an organized society. I think we're paying for way too much government now, and you make that point several times that, you know, we just see this government growing and growing and growing, and we certainly, it's increased 20 times. You make the point over and over again that when the Great Society came in, our national budget was about $100 billion. And today it's, how much is it, $2 trillion? It's gone up 20 times, but we're not getting 20 times our money's worth.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think we're likely ever to. But we're not going to get a major turnaround until we lower our sights. And that is very difficult to do because the politicians keep bidding. It's an auction for our votes. They're always conducting an auction. That's what an election is. Really, in modern terms, it's an auction for our votes.
In other words, we don't want them to be doing all those things over in the state of Nevada for those people, but we sure like them to spend money here so things are good in California.
Sure, of course we would.
or down there in Texas where you live. Can you stay with us until the half hour?
Yes, of course.
All right, fine. You just hang on. We're going to have to take a break here. And, of course, we have to do a little business so we can stay on the air. And when we get back, of course, we'll invite your calls for Mr. William Murchison, his book, There's More to Life Than Politics. We'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. Through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's
866-405-4000, and this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope many of you will feel that you'd like to help us, or maybe you'd even like to come to the meeting we're going to be having on the 29th of November. It's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's going to be an all-day meeting starting at, well, the doors are going to open at 7:45 in the morning. Program will start promptly at 8:30, and if you're not there, you're going to miss the first exciting program. In fact, it's going to be my talk, because nobody else wanted to get the first talk, but we hope that you'll be there. It's going to be lunch is going to be served. It's having a panel discussion. Joan Paris will be there talking about the USA Patriot Act. Bill Sardi will be there talking about health issues. Bob Klink will be talking about what's happening in the church today and why the church is not speaking out on the really important issues and spiritual issues facing not only America but the world. Brad Dacus will be there talking about Christian persecution. Bill Sardi on health issues. I think it'll be a great, great program, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to come and bring your friends. We want to get as many people as we can, and we're going to have to get you signed up this week, because we have to tell the people how many lunches are going to be, and they want to know about at least 5 days ahead of time, so we're not going to take people at the door. You're going to have to at least have a reservation. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and make your reservation for the Radio Liberty all-day conference held at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we'll, of course, send you a map. We'll tell you the list of motels if you're from outside the area. But you're going to get information you're not going to get elsewhere. And during the panel discussion, you can ask a lot of questions, and hopefully there'll be people there who will have the answers for them. You'll have an opportunity to meet a lot of people who feel about what's going on as you do, and to realize that we're not alone. Most Americans really believe in individual freedom. They just don't understand the real reason anything's going on. So we're going to tell you the real reason for the Supreme Court decisions and so much more. Remember, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Mr. William Murchison. His book, There's More to Life Than Politics. It's a fascinating book. A lot of it is just plain philosophy, just talking about the things that he writes about on a regular basis in his newspaper articles, and how his observations of of life, about what's happening to people and a response to society. What sort of response are you getting from this book,
Mr. Oh, Peterson? a wonderful response. I've been so happy to find out that that many people were looking for these things to say. Now, granted, these are, as you have mentioned, these are short essays that I've written over a long period of time and have had published. But here they are brought all together, and I've got a lot of, I'm happy to say, loyal, faithful readers, people of extraordinary intelligence, and they're really, really giving me a nice response to the book. I'm very happy.
Well, I certainly agree with your basic theme that there are strong spiritual aspects to this, and you know, if there is not God doesn't intervene or do something, why I believe we're going to just heading down a path that has been followed by so many other great societies down through the years. Do you have any thoughts at all on the idea of preemptive wars and the elements that we seem to be seeing, our foreign policy increasingly being aggressive?
Well, I support the president's war in Iraq. It seems to me to reflect the reality that war has a new complexion to it in the 21st century. These are not wars between states. These are wars that we're talking about now between states and stateless people whose aggressive talents and fundraising talents transcend national boundaries. So. But in this case, in the case of Saddam Hussein, we had a supporter of international terror, a terrorist dictator himself, who needed to be overthrown. We should have been overthrown in 1991 if we had done our work correctly. He would have been, and we might not have had some of the problems that we have today. But I think preemptive war is not something that we have joyously chosen. It is something that has been thrust upon us by the realities of life as it is lived in the 21st century.
Well, do you think we're going to have any impact or perhaps capture Osama bin Laden by attacking Iraq? Because Osama bin Laden seems to be the leader of this whole terrorist movement, and instead of going after Osama, why we're going after Saddam Hussein, who actually, of course, all during the 1980s, we backed him.
Well, don't forget, we're still going after Osama bin Laden. We have troops in Afghanistan. We're trying our best to catch him on the assumption that he is down there, stirring up mischief, stirring up trouble. What is more, by cutting off Saddam's capacity to shield terrorists, to finance terrorists, we're eliminating. I'll tell you one thing we're doing. We're sending a message that you don't fool with the United States of America, and that is a terrific message to send. The death toll in Iraq, every American death, every American life to begin with is precious. Every American death is a tragedy. But we haven't even approached yet the level of death that occurred in Washington D.C. and New York City on September the 11th, 2001. We have a long way to go to catch up. I hope we don't catch up in terms of deaths in Iraq, and I don't think we will. I think what it requires on our part is steadiness on the part of the people and resolution. I know we have that in President Bush. President Bush is not about to back down from this. And I think he will see it through, and that America will be a safer place on account of this.
Are you concerned at all about the talk about leaving our troops permanently stationed over in the Middle East?
No, that's not realistic. We have no intention of that. That's not going to happen.
All right, so we really are not going to keep our troops there.
I'd bet my 401k plan on that.
what would you want in return for that? Well, that's not.
Well, I would. I'd take some odds on it, but
all right, fine. Well, I would certainly hope and pray that you're right, because the last thing I want to see is American troops permanently stationed in Iraq and throughout the world. And yet, my goodness, we've got troops have been in Japan well over 50 years, pushed into 60 years, and almost the same in Europe and in South Korea. I just wish we'd get our troops out of the rest of the world and maybe be concerned about defending America.
Well, I think that what we're doing right now is part of that.
All right, fine.
We have to take the war to those people.
All right, fine. Well, I really appreciate so much of being with us. Our guest has been a Mr. William Murchison and his book, There's More to Life Than Politics. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Keep the faith.
God bless, and thanks so very much.
God bless.
Good
Thank
to be
you.
With you. Bye-bye. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention that we carry a number of other items. They do help to keep us on the air, although we're primarily dependent upon our listeners for the regular monthly support, and the members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters is what really is the bulwark of allowing us to be on shortwave and the Internet and certainly on satellite and on radio stations all across America. But we carry something called Phenopoly, and it's a wonderful gift. If you have a child or a grandchild that goes to a government school or is having difficulty reading, you need to get a Phenopoly set for them, because this is designed to teach children how to read phonetically and spell phonetically and to pronounce words phonetically. It's something I wish I'd had when I was growing up. And I think that an awful lot of young people are not getting what they need in school today because there is an organized plan simply to teach a look-see method of reading that doesn't work. And if you get this latest report that's come out from the government, they say, well, math scores are up, but reading scores aren't. And the reason it is because they're deliberately dumbing down our children and not teaching them phonics. Now, they can learn phonics in about 16 hours with Phenopoly. The game is fun. I played it. It's played by Monopoly. There are actually five board games and two bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books with this. Most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95 plus shipping, and in 16 hours you can give a child or your child or grandchild the gift of reading and reading properly. So give us a call at 1-800-5-448-9927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and order a Phenopoly set. Oh, what a wonderful gift for a child, really for anyone. In fact, we even have older people who have difficulty reading, who've gotten this, who've called me afterwards to thank me because they've learned so much from the game of Phenopoly. And Dr. Stan here, and Mr. Murchison could only be with us for 30 minutes, and so this is an open line program, and if you're out there and you have something you'd like to talk about, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and we'd be glad to talk about what you'd like to talk about. And I think that we are all concerned about what's happening over in the Middle East, and I hate to disagree with my guest when he's not here, but I believe that there is a plan to keep American troops permanently stationed in the Middle East. I believe that there is a plan to destabilize the government of Syria, to destabilize Iran and Saudi Arabia, and if we can't topple them that way, why, we will take those governments over. And because this really has to do far more with the New World Order than it does with oil. Now, oil is very important. We need that oil. We need it for China. China needs oil. And we need it for other countries, to bring them into this New World Order. After all, if you don't have oil, you can't develop your economy. And we're in the process of transferring the jobs in the factories here in the United States to other countries to bring everybody up to the same level. Well, of course, we're going to have to bring America down to the level of people living in other countries, but we will have true equality all throughout the world. That's what globalization is all about, and that is why we're outsourcing so many of our white-collar jobs, and so many of our companies are sending their employees overseas. So many of the software companies are hiring people over in India, where you can hire 6 or 8 program computers for the same price you can hire one here, and they're just as good. They have been well trained. The Indians have an excellent system of education, and it is available to the people, and their schools in many ways are even better than our schools. And so you have to understand that we are in the process of shipping our jobs overseas and our factories overseas. People say, well, we're just in a temporary downslip, but it'll come back again. No, because we won't have an industrial base. And no country has ever spent itself into prosperity. We're building up ever larger debts, our federal deficit, our trade deficit. Our trade deficit is running, you know, in the neighborhood of $500 billion a year. $100 billion of that is with communist China. And, of course, our federal deficit for the year 2004, the government will admit, even without all of this other money that we're putting out, they admit that it's going to be $500 billion, and by the time they steal from Social Security and Medicare, which they don't tell you about, but that money goes into the general fund, and then, of course, they go ahead and spend that as well. You're really talking about increasing the national debt about $750 billion. You have to understand, when they talk about the national debt, they divide it into two parts. They never explain to that. Half of this, of course, about $3.8 trillion at the present time, is owed to foreign governments or to people who bought T-bonds here in America. The rest of that is the money we've stolen from Social Security and Medicare, which was to at one time have been used to pay the benefits for people, the baby boomers, when they retire. Ladies and gentlemen, there isn't any money there. It's all IOU from the government. And where is the government going to get the money? I have a secret. The government doesn't have any money. The only money it has is what it takes from you by force through taxation, what it can borrow from future generations, or what it can do get by inflation and simply destroying the value of the currency of the senior citizens or in annuities or fixed assets or people on pensions. And by inflation, they can get more money that way. In fact, as they inflate the value of our currency, then they decrease the value of our debt. And a wonderful way simply to steal money from the people or value from the money. You may still have $1,000, but it may only buy, of course, a pair of shoes or maybe a loaf of bread sometime in the future. Could it happen here? Of course it's happened in every country where we've had irresponsible governments, and it will happen here in America. And the value of the dollar has decreased 80% in the last 32, 33 years, from 1970 to the year 2003. But it's happened so subtly that most people don't even know what's going on. Well, let's go to Herman, who's calling in here from Carmel. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Yes, good afternoon. I just received an oil and energy investment report from Bob Cheshin, and it's published monthly. But in there, he features a company that has come up with a technology to unlock the tar sands of Canada. And he said it will now make it feasible to tap 179 billion barrels of oil that are locked up in northern Canada.
Does he want you to invest in that?
Well, yes, but my point is this, that he says that it can now be pulled out at $11.50 a barrel, which is a lot cheaper than what we're paying. And I only mention this for those of you who are driving along and saying, well, my God, if we can't get the oil from the Middle East, how am I going to power my car? And that the facts are there is plenty of oil in other areas of the world, and we're being used for political purposes. And the same thing with Nikola Tesla, who in around 1904 developed a way to send electricity through the air without wires, and said the Earth is an electromagnet, and he was backed by J. Pierpont Morgan. And when Morgan figured out that there would be no profit in it, because once it was shipped, anyone that had a receiver could get it, just like you're getting your radio right now, in cahoots with Rockefeller, they shut it down. So the point is, God has given us the ability to solve these problems, but because of entrenched power structures, it's not happening.
I think you're absolutely right. Let me just mention to David, who was calling in from Gonzales, we lost you, David, but if you'd like to call us back, we'll be glad to put you on. And you're absolutely right about Nikola Tesla. Over 100 years ago, Tesla came up with all of these wonderful means of creating energy, and this was totally suppressed by our government. It was suppressed during the Second World War because national secret, because we couldn't let the wicked Germans get it, and then they sort of kept it a national secret because they never wanted that to be used here in America. They wanted to create artificial shortages so we would be dependent upon oil for our energy. And that's one reason they blocked so effectively the nuclear power plants. Nuclear power was incredibly cheap. And the only reason, of course, it was so expensive was because the environmentalists were funded by the great oil corporations and great oil companies, kept objecting and doing everything they could to drive up the price. And every time they get ready to build a nuclear power plant, they'd be there. The power plant that they put on at Mount Diablo Canyon here in California should have cost $400 million. It ended up costing over between $4 and $6 billion, and of course I think it took 15 years to go online. All the time the company had to borrow the money at interest rates and pay that, so they did everything they could, and then of course they blocked the reprocessing of fuel. We hear people talking about, what are we going to do about the spent fuel? It's just sitting there waiting for the terrorists to get it. Well, every other country in the world that has spent fuel simply reprocesses it. Oh, we can't reprocess it. We might produce some plutonium. Why not produce plutonium? You can use it in nuclear power plants, and you could use it over and over again. But you see, they don't want a solution. They want a problem, because when they have a problem, then the government's there to solve it for us. I mean, look what the government has done as far as simply insisting on all the catalytic converters that they put on to increase the energy consumption of the gasoline consumption of our engines, so our engines aren't anywhere near as efficient as they should be. They've insisted on putting MTBE in our gasoline, which is a poison, poisoning our water. And now they've come up with an energy bill. They're going to give the companies that have been making this poison $2 billion to get, so they don't have to lose money when they quit producing it. And they've also put in the new energy bill provision, so you can't sue the companies that have been putting the poison in our water through MTBE. So everything they do to solve the problem makes it worse. The same thing with the ethanol, which really doesn't increase mileage at all or make the air any cleaner. So you're absolutely right, Herman.
Could you comment on the governor, the new governor, being, maybe you already did, but he was sworn in today, and a lot of people that I've talked to are very excited, thinking that Arnold's going to really turn things around here in California, and then I'll take my answer off the air.
Well, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. Let's wait and see what happens. Thanks very much, Herman. And let's put it this way. The one thing that Tom McClintock said was the first day he was in office, he was going to demand the renegotiation of the $20 billion in contracts we had made with Enron and all these other energy companies that were bilking the public, because Governor Davis's man who had actually negotiated the contract was actually working for the very people he was negotiating with. Thus, this was all illegal, and it would have saved the people of California $20 billion. Let's see if Arnold is going to insist on the renegotiation of those contracts. Let's go to David calling from Gonzales. Hi, David. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Sorry to keep you on the line for so long. Didn't see you were on your cell phone.
That's okay. I wanted to thank you because I did order the Sinopoly a couple of months ago. I have a 7-year-old. I want to thank you for your programs on that topic.
How is he doing with his reading?
He's doing better. It's just a matter of trying to implement it because I have two younger children that don't let us do it.
Well, you
a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Well, you get them involved playing it as well. And get them play it through a couple of times, and they're going to be superb readers.
They're doing better already. My 2-year-old repeats a lot of the words from the game. So
well, 2 years old is a little young for Phenomenal. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for calling, David. Anything else?
Yes, I had a question. Is it just a conspiracy theory on my part? I was thinking that this partial birth abortion bill that's been signed by President Bush is a scam. It's politics, because I'm thinking it's been appealed already. So is it the land of the... Is it the law of the land already?
No, it's not. It's the law of the land, but the judges have already blocked it. And I knew that it was going to happen. It's going to go up to the Supreme Court, and I'm firmly convinced that they're going to say no, that we have the right, the woman has the right to kill her child.
That's what I was thinking. My wife to talk politics.
But the public is going to say, well, after all, the congressmen and the senators voted for it, the president signed it, so they really expected this thing to go through. No, the reason that they all did this was because they knew it wasn't going to go through, it would be blocked by the courts, and nothing's going to change till we get people in the courts who believe in the Constitution and will uphold their oath of office.
Okay, thanks a lot,
Douglas. Thanks so much, Dave. Let's go to George calling from Toronto. Hi, George.
Good evening, Dr. Monty. I know you don't like to speculate, but I have to ask you this. With regards to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Hillary Clinton, Rodden Clinton, rather. Could you tell me, it seems that Arnold is scheduled for bigger and better things than
the governor
of California?
They've already introduced legislation, so whether this will pass, but they're trying to amend the Constitution so that somebody who was born in another country like Austria can run for the president.
Correct. And I have read that. So, where do they give Hillary her presidency as the first female, and where does Arnold fit in? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
All right, fine. Well, George, I don't have all the answers. I think what they do is see who they can get us to go for. Right now, they're trying to build up Wesley Clark. And if you read five papers, as I do every day, almost every day, every newspaper has at least one article on Wesley Clark, at least every other day. So the establishment's trying to create the groundswell of support for Wesley Clark. Hillary's still over there in the wings. I don't know what's going to happen as far as she's concerned. I think that they're going to build up Arnold. They're going to have several candidates. Whichever one they can sell to the American people, that one they'll move into the presidency. And they will run a candidate on the Republican ticket, and they'll run a candidate on the Democratic ticket. Once in a while, you'll have somebody they don't control, like a Barry Goldwater. And you remember what they did to Barry Goldwater back in 1964. And apparently they had told Ronald Reagan in 1980 that if he didn't go along with their agenda and put George Bush in as his vice president and the people that they wanted in his cabinet, they would do to him what they did to Barry Goldwater. And, of course, unfortunately, Ronald Reagan, thinking probably that he could do more good if he was the president, compromised his position, put in George Bush and their people from the Council on Foreign Relations. And it really didn't matter in many respects whether it was Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan as the president. Jimmy Carter never could have run up the massive deficits that Ronald Reagan did. Jimmy Carter could never have increased the size of government that Ronald Reagan did. And you have to realize that Ronald Reagan gave us the biggest tax increase in our nation's history, and that was in 1986. Amazingly, nobody ever talks about that. Well, if you're out there and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But I believe that they have big plans for Arnold Schwarzenegger. And if you go up to Infowars.com, that's Alex Jones' website, he's got some interesting things there about how Arnold Schwarzenegger and George Shultz had gone over to meet with the Rothschilds, and of course George Shultz, representing the Council on Foreign Relations, has given Arnold Schwarzenegger the blessing of the Council on Foreign Relations. I believe that one reason Arnold was nominated, was encouraged to run, was so that they would not go after renegotiating those $20 billion contracts with the power companies that the people of California are going to have to pay off. $20 billion is a lot of money. Now, if they could renegotiate those contracts, they could stop raping the people of this state for their electricity bills and raising the electricity rates totally unwarranted. But this is part of a long-range plan. What is the long-range plan? Why, get the prices up high enough, people will stop using electricity. And you notice so often on television, you'll see these ads about conservation. Oh, we've got to conserve electricity. We've got to turn our lights out. We can't, be using so much electricity. This is all part of the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development Program. Raise the prices up, make it difficult for the people, and, of course, then they won't use electricity. And the same thing, raising the price of natural gas. Admittedly, there's a lot of profits to be made. but so much of this is actually manipulation, going along with this idea we're running out of natural resources, so we've got to get everybody to limit what they're doing, and we've got to begin lowering the living standards of the American people, which is why they are intentionally shipping our jobs overseas. And don't know how many of you heard my interview with the gentleman from the Cato Institute on the Overseas Private Investment Corporation, American corporation, that government funded, that is actually financing companies to move overseas. Companies that really are in need, like General Motors and Chase Manhattan and some of the biggest corporations in the United States, were getting hundreds of millions of dollars to subsidize them moving into third world or second world countries or into China. And then, of course, through the Export-Import Bank, loans from there, loans, of course, from other government agencies and international agencies. This is what's funding communist China so that they build up their economy so we can ship our jobs over there. But if they lower the living standards of the American people, then, of course, they won't be using as many of the natural resources, and we can conserve. And you have to read the book Limits of Growth that was put out in 1972 by the Club of Rome. Get our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which is available through Radio Liberty, or you can get their 1,142-page book if you want to read that. It's called The Global Biodiversity Assessment. It's all planned out. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know. The electricity shortage in California was all a scam, and, well, let's wait and see if Arnold insists on renegotiating those contracts with those companies for the $20 billion that you and I are going to have to pay if the contracts aren't negotiated. A very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level. And the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just comment that we have a number of other items we carry here at Radio Liberty. One of them, of course, is the Big Berkey water filters. And if you are concerned about the taste of your water, if you're concerned about impurities in your water, if you're concerned about fluoride in your water, why, the Big Berkey or the Berkey Light is the way to go. Now, the Big Berkey is made of stainless steel. You pour a couple of gallons of water in the top. It goes down through the ceramic filters, packed with activated carbon, comes out the bottom. The taste is much better. It moves most of the impurities in the water. Does a great job of cleaning up the water and the taste of the water. If you want to get the fluoride out, you have to have a special post filter, and that is additional. But you put it on the bottom, and, of course, when the water comes from the top into the bottom chamber, it filters out the fluoride as well. Now, you can actually get the Big Berkey for $239.95 plus $10 shipping. And if you buy it from us, you get a four-tape set or a video we produced. The only problem is it's available in every state of the Union but in the states of California and Iowa. If you want to get something here in California, why, they have something called the Berkey Light, and it's made of Lexan, so you can see the water level, and we rather like that, so you know where the water level is. And then you have the Black Berkey filters, which are really much better filters, except they have to be changed every 2 to 4 years, whereas the other filters can be used over and over again and cleaned and boiled and brushed off, and so they last for a very, very long time. But either one, of course, the Berkey Light's $199.95. The Big Berkey's $239.95. You can see them both at our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And it would be a great Christmas present. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and this is the time when I need to remind you Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there listening to us across America, we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. When you do, you get our four best tapes of the month, you get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you're helping to finance our effort and our outreach every day, 5 days a week, where we reach about 60 different outlets every week. And this is on shortwave internet radio. Some of our radio programs are only heard half an hour on Saturday. But at least people are hearing the truth that they will never hear otherwise. And we'd like to be on 350 stations every Saturday. And when we have the funding, we'll do it. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we'd love to welcome you into the Radio Liberty family. Then we just want to mention the program. We're going to have this on the 29th of November here on the North Shore of Monterey Bay at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. It's going to be all day long, starting at 8:30 in the morning and going till 5 in the evening. Lunch is going to be served. We're going to have some great speakers, and we hope many of you will want to come. And if you do decide to come, you're going to have to give us a call this week, because we have to know how many people are going to be there, or at least the people who run the golf course are going to have to know, so they can have the lunches ready. And if you'd like to come, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Get your reservation in as soon as you can, so we have an idea exactly how many people are going to be here. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell your friends, you'll tell your relatives. We want to get as good turnout as we can. We're bringing in some excellent speakers from across the country. And with your help, it's going to be a great program. And there will be a panel discussion at the end of the day, but we're going to start promptly at 8:30, so you're going to have to be there at 8 o'clock to get seated and get ready for what I think is going to be one of the best seminars that you've ever heard. Again, the number to call, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to going to our website, which is at radioliberty.com. And there, of course, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day and not get much of anything accomplished. You can pull down our archive programs from several programs that you don't ordinarily hear on this network, and you're welcome to pull those down to copy them and distribute them to others. You'll find our newsletters there. And although we'll be glad to send you a free copy of our newsletter, why, you can actually pull them down off the internet and copy them from there and save us the cost of the postage. So that's at radioliberty.com. The archive and monthly newsletters are all there, going back many years, and we hope you pull them down and you'll go to the documentation and check it out to find if it's really true. Because if it really is true that they've been able to convince the entire American public that we're a democracy, whereas we're really a republic, they must have a tremendous control over what the American people think. So go to our website, radioliberty.com. Tell other people about our website. Tell them about our radio programs and encourage them to listen to us on a regular basis. Even go to your radio station and ask them, the local radio station, ask them if they... you're not hearing us on radio, of course, if they'd like to pull down our programs, and they can always call Genesis or call us, and hopefully we could make arrangements for this program to be heard on your station, or one of our other programs to be heard on your station on a regular basis, because that's how we're reaching more and more people across America. And as things go worse, and they're going to grow worse, as our economy begins to crumble because we're not going to have an industrial base, we're shipping most of this offshore, and this is happening not by accident, by intent, as part of a program of globalization. And we find the World Trade Organization now circumventing our Constitution and telling our duly elected representatives how we're going to run America, all part of the program to move us away from freedom. And so please pray for America and pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.